Well, greetings to you once again in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for calling in and for taking time out of your schedule to get a daily inspiration. And we know that comes from God, and He gives us that inspiration many times right through His Word, the Word of God that we have, the Bible. And so today I trust that once again we will have some inspiration from God, because His Word is truth. His Word will endure forever. The things of this world are temporal, and all the things that we see with our eyes will someday vanish and disappear. But the Word of the Lord will endure forever. We're told so by God Himself and Jesus Christ, that His Word will endure forever. And there's scripture that tells us, and I don't have the reference right now, but there's a scripture that says that God honors His word above His own name. That's pretty amazing. His word is true. And when we align ourselves with His word, we're walking in God's blessing, because His word points us to the Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful blessing. It's a hidden treasure that men can find when they seek the Lord with their whole heart. That's my prayer for you and for myself, that we would seek the Lord with the whole heart. And we shall find Him if we do that. I'm going to take a look at another little glimpse of King David. We've talked of him often, and I have mentioned before, I appreciate the life of David the chronicles that we have, and the history that we have of him is just very encouraging, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you today. I'm going to be reading in 1 Samuel, and we'll be in chapter 24. If you'd like to read that, I'm just going to read a portion of that, and I would encourage you to go back through and take a real good look at how God had established David in the midst of some very trying and difficult times. David was learning something, how to put his trust in the Lord, as we've talked about already. In chapter 24, 1 Samuel, and I'm going to read about 12 verses here, so it'll just take me a few minutes, and then we can glean from this what we can here. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. And I'll just kind of give you a brief little summary here. Saul was the first king of Israel, and you can read for yourself what happened to him. He got himself in trouble, and God is going to replace him, and the man he chooses is David. And Saul has become aware of this, and he's very jealous against David. David also knows what God is going to do, but he's not willing to push. He's wanting to let God do it in his timing, his way. And so from time to time, Saul would get the notion to go after David and to kill him, destroy him, because he knew that David was going to take his place. So he wanted to eliminate David. And, you know, at the same time, Israel was being tormented and taunted by the Philistines. And so Saul would have his hands full. He'd be searching for David, and then there'd be trouble with the Philistines, and he would have to tend to different things concerning his nation. And so it says, now he's returned from following the Philistines, and somebody tells him that, hey, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. And so verse 2 says, then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. Now, this passage here lets me know that Saul had some pretty good respect for David. David had a handful of followers with him. Saul is pursuing after him. He knows David is a cunning man, and he's also a warrior. And Saul knows that very well. And so now he's gathered up to himself 3,000 chosen men, not just anybody, but these are men that are experienced, men that are in the battles. They're experienced. They have proven themselves to be soldiers. And now he's coming after David with these 3,000 men. And they go up into the wilderness of En-Gedi, and they're hunting out David like they would hunt an animal. Verse 3, and he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David rose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And I'd like to just pause here for a moment and just, here we are. David has already been told what's going to happen. He knows that God is going to put him in charge, but he also keeps in his back of his mind and in his heart, this man Saul has been chosen of God. And David respected Saul, and he was not willing to lift his hand against Saul because he knew that the authority was placed there by God. And kind of an interesting concept, because he could have easily talked himself into, as his men were trying to say, hey, this is the day that God has told you about. I'm going to let you do to your enemies whatever seems good to you. And so David, I think, could have easily thought over in his mind and said, you know, God, he's already got all this planned out. I'll just go ahead and do it. But he didn't. He said he's not going to stretch out his hand, stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed, which was Saul. Verse 7, so David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My lord the king! And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. Now here's the proof to me that this is not just words that David's speaking. Here he is bowing himself to the one that's in authority, and he is showing preference to Saul. He bowed himself. He calls him my lord the king, and I don't think it was just going through the motions here. Verse 9, and David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. And you can continue to read that. That's the first 12 verses of 1 Samuel 24. And I encourage you to go through that and read that story. It's encouraging. You'll see some more. This is just a little glimpse of what's happening here. And David has full confidence that God is going to do it. He said, Let the Lord judge between me and you. You can see that my hands are clean. I'm innocent here. I'm not trying to get rid of you. The Lord will judge, and he'll avenge me of thee, and my hand is not going to do it, but it'll be the hand of the Lord. David knew that. He understood that, and I think that goes right along with Psalm 40. We read that David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear, and he heard my cry. And see, that's, to me, this is the test and the proof. These things were real in David's heart. He waited patiently for the Lord. He could have taken things into his own hands, but he recognized that there's a higher power. There is a better way. And, you know, this world struggles. Today, you'll see it not only amongst the you know, all over the world, in the United States, leadership, different things, there's a struggle, there's a power struggle. People want to take by force. They want to do things with their own strength, their own might, and there is a better way. For us as Christians, we can let God be the judge between us and those that would come against us, those that would threaten us, those that would try to intimidate us. But we can put our confidence and trust in the Lord. He's going to take care of it. He will take care of it. And He'll avenge us against our enemies if we keep our heart and our mind focused on Him. And that's exactly what David did. David understood that the things that God was doing were real, and he was quite able to do it. Now, as you read the story, you will find that David, he was also aware that his life was in danger to some degree. Now, so, you know, there's times when we fall into that valley and that place of worry and concern, and David was not exempt from that. There was times when he was a little bit concerned about his own life. But he'd come out of that. He didn't dwell there. He understood something else about God, that God was going to do it. And, you know, that's encouraging for us, because we too can have the same confidence that whatever we're going through, whatever we face today and tomorrow and every day of our lives, that God is in charge. He's able to take care of all these things, big and small. And a challenge for me is to recognize the authority that God has placed over my life, and I'm hoping to share some more of that with you later on. These are some things that really challenge my heart, and I want to be as David and be able to recognize, hey, this comes from God. I need to accept it and receive it and let God be the judge, and let Him be the avenger, and let Him take care of everything. And, you know, I know we know that in theory, but to live it and practice it like David did, now that may be a different thing for some of us, maybe a challenge. But we'll get into that a little later on, Lord willing. We'll talk about some of that and how we can really rest, even today. In 2015, we can rest in God the Almighty to take care of us and to take care of all the things that come our way. Because He is God. He is sovereign, and nothing is out of His reach. So God bless you as you consider those things, and as you look to God for your strength, may He be everything that you need today, tomorrow, and for eternity. God bless you.